Kirk, you're a historian. Who found the Dead Sea Scrolls?
Dead Sea Scrolls were a little Arabian boy, probably a Muslim, who happened to stumble across the caves of Qumran and said, "Ooh, look at here."
Yeah. Do you think Yahweh used the little Muslim boy, or do you think the little Muslim boy was just off doing his thing and stumbled upon it? And goodness, there it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the case too. If Yahweh specifically was using someone to find it and was going to intervene in free will, and he can. I mean, you know, if Abraham and Moshe were both a little reluctant to begin with, particularly Moshe, I was not going to force them. You know, you have to be willing to do it. I don't think there's one chance in a jillion that Yahweh used that young Arab boy.
No, not at all.
And if he had chosen to use someone to find it, do you think he would have used somebody that would not have turned it over to the Roman Catholic Church and to Islamic control?
Not
where it
chance.
Took another 30 years for us to even get a glimpse of what was inside of it?
No, not a chance. He would have protected it the way he always did.
Exactly.
In the Ark.
Right. So have we benefited from the Dead Sea Scrolls?
Absolutely,
being
we have.
Tremendously.
Yeah.
That does not mean that God used the Bedouin boy to find it. I find the lexicons particularly useful in understanding what God said.
Yes.
And yet with the lexicons, I realized they were published by religious institutions. And for them to be of value to me, I have to filter out religiosity. For example, I just translated two passages here in the last couple of days where they took Torah. And if you look up their definition, their first definition is law.
Law.
And they're just wrong. It's just that's not what it means. Not my opinion. God's very thorough in describing what it means, and he speaks of it in a way that definition only works if you're completely irrational.
Right.
So you have to use a filter. With Ron Wyatt, you have to use a filter because, yes, he would talk about Jesus and Christ and cite the New Testament as if it were Scripture. And so you have to use a filter with him. But it doesn't change the merit of what he found. And for Ron, I don't know if it was he was trying to prove the Torah's accuracy or if it was that he had a genuine curiosity and believed that what God had said is true and wanted to find these things just for the curiosity of them. But you said something during the break, which is very true, and we're going to go to the next thing that he found, and it's really important to view it from that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't read Ron Wyatt trying to prove that what we had come to know about Yahweh was true.
Mm-hmm.
Had no influence on me whatsoever in that regard. But it's each of the things that he found, because of where they are and the nature of the, whether it be the topography or the general geographic location or some of the elements like the metallurgy of the bolts, they were a glue lamb construction, if you will, that the dimensions were consistent in length, greater in width because boat had been splayed. Although, when he measured the beams themselves, the beams then measured exactly the Torah's dimensions. All of those things provide for those who are looking at them from the right perspective, just another way of putting all the pieces together.
Mm-hmm.
And you can build on those pieces. And I think that when we try to understand Yah's words in a vacuum, they're much more difficult than they are when viewed from the perspective of the world and the universe as we know it. A great example. We talk about Einstein and his discovery two of them, really, that time is relative based upon the perspective of the viewer, and that time moves more slowly in the presence of great energy or velocity or mass, and that that energy, light, therefore, and matter are exactly the same thing, just not the same amounts of the same thing. And when you then compare that to what Yahweh said about eternal life, about his nature and light, about the set-apart spirit and the most set-apart Yahusha, when you read what Yahweh said and then can augment it with those scientific discoveries of a man who is probably an agnostic, your overall understanding is greatly enhanced. In other words, the Torah is not designed to view another world. It's designed to provide a perspective of this one.
Yeah.
And so
that's not afraid of knowledge.
No. And so that's an example. And the finding the Ark of the Covenant, I view exactly the same way. Now, he was, Ron was convinced, as am I, that Constantine Mommy got everything wrong, and that the Church of the Holy Sepulchre is in the wrong place. That Golgotha means Golgotha, which means Golgotha, which only means Golgotha, the place of the skull.
Right.
There's the place of the skull. I have been there, man. I get goosebumps just looking at it. And if you want to see it, there's hundreds of pictures online that you can look at and see it. And that's exactly how it looks, particularly from the back parking lot of the Jerusalem bus station that is set right there. And guess what? What's at the top of the of that embankment where the skull is still visible in the cliff walls? What's at the top?
Isn't that the hose for the... Or is that, no, that's in the front, isn't it?
No, the top. What's, you know, if you're standing in the Jerusalem bus station, which is 700 strides from the Damascus Gate and the Temple Mount.
Oh, well, that's the hose where they would have put the upright pole.
Well, yeah, you'll find that. Ron White found that, the receptacle in the limestone where the upright pole was placed. At the top of that embankment is the summit of Mount Moriah.
Oh, yes, of course, yeah. Sorry.
Summit of Mount Moriah, and it's completely uninhabited, the most coveted city in the world, most spectacular view, most important location and best view, and the most coveted place on earth, and there ain't nothing there.
Ain't nothing
just
there.
As it was when Noah and Abraham went there. And so it's obvious where the outside of the Damascus Gate, where the place of the crucifixion took place, the fulfillment of Pesach, and if you look up there, there's... So there's the summit of Mount Moriah, and into that, the hill on the summit, kind of on the south side of it, is where the empty tomb is.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.